Welcome to Cancer Conversations. I'm your host, Erica Matthews. I am a wife, mom, and wellness coach. I understand the trauma of getting a cancer diagnosis and the intense battle a person instantly steps into. This podcast is all about learning how to overcome adversity and how activating faith plays a key role in the outcomes we want to have. Each week, I will be bringing you education and inspiration, as well as interviews with other fellow warriors. Get ready to be empowered in your faith, mindset, and your health. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome to another episode of Cancer Conversations. I'm your host, Erica Matthews, and I have another wonderful guest for you guys this week. And I know that you're going to love her story just as much as I do. And I'm excited to learn even more than I already do know about her. And I think we met through Healing Strong, which is a nonprofit organization that's doing amazing work. And maybe my guest can share more about the organization in this episode, but let's get going and welcome Janice Moss to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, this is so cool. I know a little bit of your story, but I'm excited to learn more. So let's just get started. There's so much, oh my gosh, that I'm excited for everybody to hear. But of course, you had a cancer diagnosis. So let's start there. So what kind of cancer and when were you diagnosed?
The cancer is ovarian.
Okay.
And I was diagnosed April Fool's Day.
Oh.
2009, April 1st, 2009.
Wow.
I thought I was going into surgery to have surgery to remove fibroids because that's what my doctor told me that, you know, I'd been having issues for years and years. And she, for years and years, kept telling me, oh, you know, this is just, you know, you're 48 years old. It's just the, you know, kind of the time that, you know, women start having problems. It's just menopausal issues. But I knew in my heart that something was wrong. So I told her, you know, she kept saying that she just kept wanting to put me on birth control pills and birth control pills. And, you know, finally I just got and said, no, I need to have an ultrasound. I need to see what it is. I am gaining weight like crazy. And there's no reason for me to gain weight like this because I'd normally been, you know, pretty healthy person. I was a jogger, you know, lift weights and stuff like that. And I just couldn't understand the unexplained weight loss. Well, later on that I found out that oftentimes that unexplained weight loss is one of the major and only signs that you have of ovarian cancer. So we set up a surgery to go and have the fibroids removed. And after I came out of recovery, you know, the doctor came and she says, well, you know, we thought it was fibroids, but it's ovarian cancer. And you're already stage three. And maybe a little bit further along, you know, but it hasn't quite turned into stage four yet. Of course, that just blew my mind, you know, because that was not something that I expected. I knew something was wrong, but that was just not on my radar. So, of course, they wanted to, you know, send me, you know, telling me that I had to have so many rounds of chemotherapy and then radiation. And I had previously worked as a hospital chaplain. So in that position, you kind of see a whole lot of things. And I saw a lot of things that were very distasteful to me. Plus, my best friend had died a couple of years prior with breast cancer. And she did all of the radiation, all of the chemotherapy, all these kind of experimental drugs. And she would say, you know, Janice, if I had it all over, had to do it all over again, I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, you know, they were very forceful and they wanted to put me into these trials, clinical trials and everything, but my mind just wouldn't, you know, let me do that. I just prayed. I prayed and, you know, the scripture says, and Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. So I turned my face to the wall and I just prayed. And I said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Not right now. Let me do my own research. You know, my doctor actually told me that I was stupid.
Wow.
And I asked her, I said, am I stupid because I won't exchange my best judgment for your best judgment? Is that what makes me stupid? Or is it stupid that, you know, I would have a mind of my own and try alternative routes? Well, you know, she just kind of turned red in the face and walked out. So what I did was I came home and I basically sat in the middle of my bed for 3 months and I read and I researched and I read and I researched. I probably read over 30,000 pages. I had a friend that was a physician. So, you know, she kind of gave me access to some studies and everything. And, you know, most of the time I had to read some of the writings that I found with a medical dictionary and a regular dictionary to just kind of get to understand what I was reading. So what I did was in my research, I just read, you know, I had four goals, maybe five. First of all, I wanted to know what cancer was. Second of all, I wanted to know what effects it had on the body. Then I wanted to know all about the traditional treatments, the medications that they would normally use to treat me with. And I'd ask the doctor what medications would be involved in the chemotherapy that I would be given. So I had that list so I could research that. Mm. And then I wanted to know about alternative treatments. And the fifth thing I wanted to study was survivor stories, people who had cancer and who had survived. So in my research, what I did was if I found a substance that they said was good for cancer and would minimize cancer, I had a long legal pad. I would write it on the pad, you know. And if I found that same substance in a second source, you know, I would underline it. And if I saw that substance, you know, in a third, you know, kind of publication or, you know, history or in my research, I would circle it. And after I finished kind of doing that basic kind of research, I decided all of the substances that I had circled that I would go and read up on those, see where they came from, see what the, you know, what people were saying about them, see what they were traditionally used for, and all of those kinds of things. So I started off with like 22 substances that, you know, I was researching. And I decided that I was going to invest in and try to use 9 of those substances, but I didn't want to use all 9 at the same time because then I wouldn't know what was working and what wasn't. Mm. So what I would do is that I would take whatever substance that I was researching, you know, and read about it. And I would try like 3 at a time. You know, I would try this, you know, and, you know, I had to kind of figure out the dosages and everything myself. And I was just trying 3 at a time. And after 45 days that I would rotate off of those and try, you know, 3 more and 3 more and to try to determine what was effective, how I was feeling, what was going on in my body, whether or not my body felt sluggish, whether or not I felt tired, all of those things, and just kind of get in touch with my body. And what I have always been a spiritual person. So, you know, I just prayed and asked for guidance. And, you know, I was given 6 months to live, as I said, on April 1st. And as the 6 months period rolled around, you know, I was still here. I was still feeling pretty good. I was still feeling strong. Then a year rolled over and another year rolled over and another year. And, you know, I also started that when I told you I was going to study survival stories, one thing I found that was consistent with all of the stories that I read is that these people changed their diets. They went from normal eating habits to either vegan or vegetarian types of eating plans. And so I decided that I was going to go vegan, take the meat out of my diet. I found this book called The China Study, and it's by a gentleman named T. Colin Powell. And he used to work for I think it was FDA or something like that, but he had a big government job. And he ran across a study that was done in, like, I think, 1939 or something that traced cancer with meat consumption. And he set out to prove it because he had been a cattle rancher, grew up on a cattle ranch. And, you know, he set out to disprove the theory that, you know, they had, you know, found, and I think it was 1939 or so. I can't say specifically, but I think it was 1939. So after he did that, and, you know, they learned that they could turn cancer on and off with mice by what they fed them. So he set out to disprove it in a China study. And he basically went to this place where in China, where people were living to be well over 100, and cancer was just something that was not known about in that area. And he discovered that, you know, they ate very little meat. And in his quest to disprove this theory that was associated with meat consumption, what he actually found was ended up proving it. So I changed my diet. I did all of that. You know, I kept to my routine, and I did very, very well. You know, every time, because my doctor was so rude to me, and she just told me, you know, well, it's your choice if you want to die. So every year on April 1st, I would just, you know, send her a card or some flowers and say, I just wanted to let you know I'm still here. Yes. And then I thought about it after a while. I said, why am I spending money on this woman? You know, she doesn't deserve this, you know, to prove a point. So I did very, very well and didn't have any issues. I would still periodically have scans. You know, they would say, oh, the cancer is there and it's growing and now it's spreading to all of these places. And, you know, I would go home and I would pray and, you know, I would just keep moving. But then after, you know, they say, you know, the 5-year point is the point where, you know, everything, you know, if you had cancer and you're surviving, you know, 5 years was, you know, the benchmark. So after about 5 years, 5 or 6 years, I started slipping back into my old habits. In 2016, I had a recurrence where the left side of my body just started to swell. I went to the hospital. The tumors had grown, and what I was doing was just keeping them at bay. They weren't necessarily gone as far as I was concerned, but they weren't bothering me or anything like that. And I was able to function. I was able to work. I was able to enjoy my family and do all the other things that I did. But after from 2009 to, you know, around 2016, everything was fine. And then I started going back to my old habits. I started, you know, eating unhealthily. And the next thing you know, I was back in the hospital. And this time they gave me 3 months to live. So I said, okay, things have got to change. I have got to get back on my regimen. So I did that. And I was able to come out of the hospital. I heard about this doctor that was in Mexico that was treating cancer successfully, but he had been having so many problems from the FDA that he really didn't want his name out there. So it was kind of a secretive kind of thing to get to him. So I was able to get some herbs and everything from him. And then I found about another substance called poly-MVA. So I took those two things. And this time I decided to do something different. You can go and have your blood tested in Greece. It's called the RGCC, where what they do is that they send your blood to this laboratory. And what the laboratory does is that it will take your blood and test it against several different substances. And you'll get a long report back and says, you know, these are the things that are most effective against your cancer. So I started to search some of those substances I was already familiar with that I had already studied. It tests certain chemotherapies as well as, you know, regular non-traditional kinds of treatments. And you get this report from RGCC. So I just did that and start following up. And that was in 2017. And right now I'm still functional. I finally just decided, you know, just a week ago to go have a PET scan, since it had been years since I have I have gone to get one to just kind of see what the scan will say. But I'm functioning. I work every day. I, you know, still go out and I enjoy my life. And this coming April 1st will be 15 years from the date I was diagnosed and given 6 months to live.
Oh my gosh, that's so powerful. Wow. So was it hard for you to, I don't know, sort of renounce their word curse over you? Or like, what were you thinking when they spoke that over you?
It really did more to fuel me. It did more to motivate me than anything else, because no man knows the day or the hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, like when my doctor told me where, you know, you just need to be content to die. My thing was, well, you can die before I do. You could, you know, fall and hit your head on the way out of the door and die. So you can't pronounce life or death over me. That life and death is in the hands of my God. And I just decided that it was doing my body more stress to worry about this. Because I think that so many times it's your mental ability to decide this is what they say. And I can choose to worry about it. But my mother used to always say, if you're going to worry, why pray? And if you're going to pray, why worry? So I decided that I was going to live as long as God gave me strength in my body, and I was not going to worry about it. And not worrying about it didn't mean that I was going to be reckless or anything of that nature. What it meant was that I was going to trust in the God who had given me life. And my prayer would always be, Lord, you made me, you know how to fix me. You know, like, what kind of car do you drive?
Altima.
Okay. So if something goes badly wrong with your Altima, you're not going to take it to Range Rover to get it fixed.
Right.
You're going to take it to the Nissan dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal was, something has gone drastically wrong with this body that God has given me. I'm not going to go to anybody other than my manufacturer.
That's right.
The person who created me knows how to fix me. They know all of the schematics, how this blood vein runs this way, this capillary is this, that capillary is that. So I feel like that my focus was never on what they said. Now, I'm not saying that doctors and everything don't have value and that there cannot be healing, you know, from your doctors or anything like that. What I am saying is that nobody can pronounce, give you life or give you death. And sometimes people spend so much time worrying about the prognosis that the worry and the stress of it kills them.
Exactly.
So my goal was to live and have a full quality of life for as long as God allowed it. And I just decided that I was not going to chase substances anymore. I was not going to, you know, worry about it or, you know, run after this or that or the other, but I was just going to just live. And I think that gave me so much freedom, because the body is designed to heal itself.
Yep.
And so many times the things that we put in our bodies, we will say, oh, this is good for this and this is good for that. But when we combine all of those things in our bodies, sometimes it produces a toxic mixture. And I was not sure whether or not all of the substances I was trying to take was producing a toxicity that was giving me as many problems as the cancer itself. So for the last year or so, I haven't done basically taking anything. You know, I try to eat as healthy as I can. I try to let my food be my medicine. And I, like I say, it'll be 15 years, actually a month from today, it'll be 15 years.
I just love that so much. Well, I want to just commend you, first of all, because I don't know of many people that would do what you've done. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard of anyone doing what you've done. And I'm very connected to people, you know, who have a cancer diagnosis. So this is absolutely incredible. And your trust in the Lord, I mean, was it always unshakable, or did you have to actually work to make it unshakable? Because it sounds like you just have this trust in the Lord that's like incredible.
Well, I think only what's in you can come out of you. Mm. And I think it has always been in me. And I think it's actually in most of us. Mm. It's just that we have let other things and other voices cloud it. Mm. You know, we think that, you know, because someone has MD behind their names, that their best knowledge is better than yours. And sometimes we distinctively decide to rely on their judgment rather than listen to what God is telling us that should be done or that we should do to be able to take care of ourselves.
Definitely.
Hey, I want to pause from today's episode and talk about an immune system molecule that has certainly changed my life, but is making a lot of waves out in the world. And strong immunity is my passion, and I truly believe that every single person needs to be using this molecule. It activates your natural killer cells. It makes your immune system 437% smarter. It kills cancer cells, and its main job is to help your body recognize a threat and then respond to it. Now, one of the great things about this molecule is if your body doesn't recognize where the problem is, it can't certainly fight it. So it's like this molecule points out where the problem is so it can effectively fight it. So if you are interested in what this molecule could do for you, go ahead and message me at hello@ericamatthews.co. All right, let's get back into today's episode.
I think if most people like really slow down, you know, especially when they first get diagnosed, and instead of, you know, oh, we got to move quick, go here, do this. And it's that like rushed and that spirit of fear driving a person, I believe that we would hear differently. We would truly quiet ourselves. We would be able to hear that maybe we're not supposed to be doing the, you know, the poison and the cutting and the burning on our bodies. I truly believe that. So
because the thing is that people want an instant fix.
Yeah.
I mean, you would not believe the amount of people that told me that I was crazy. I didn't tell very many people what was going on with me. You know, I just decided that I was going to do all my research myself. I was going to do exactly what I needed to do and, you know, come up with my own plan. And I shared my plan with one of my friends that I thought would understand. She knew me. She knew the kind of person that I am. And when I told her that I was taking a homeopathic approach, she says, well, that's dumb. You know, Steve Jobs was a billionaire and he tried that homeopathic mess and he died. What makes you think you're smarter than Steve Jobs?
Ouch.
Needless to say, that friendship has been damaged forever.
Yeah.
So the thing is that I think that the first thing, if I was giving any advice to anybody who had the diagnosis, the first thing is, I would say would be to get quiet and listen for God's voice and God's instruction. And not that you need to keep it a secret, like it's some deep, dark secret, like you have some kind of venereal disease or anything like that. It's not something that you need to keep secret or quiet in that manner, but just make yourself the priority. And I think that the Bible talks about there's a reason for everything. And so I had a lot of conversations with God where, what is the reason for this cancer? What is the reason for this cancer? What is the reason for this cancer? And the answer that I got was because you didn't value your life.
Mm.
You're giving it to other people. You're making everybody else the priority. You know, you're making work the priority. You're making everything else is the priority of you, and you're giving people pieces of you. You're trying to swim an ocean for people who wouldn't step over a puddle for you.
Mm.
Draw your energy back into you and let that energy heal you. Because I felt like I needed to do everything for my family. I needed to do everything for my siblings, for my nieces and nephews, and, you know, for my clients and everything at work. I felt like I needed to be there for them. And I need, you know, would stay up nights and do, you know, everything I could for other people, but I wasn't giving myself the same self-love. I was loving everybody except me.
Mm.
And I had to pull my energy back and learn to love me in a way that was pleasing to God. Mm. Because everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. And you have to decide whether or not your opinion trumps theirs, or whether or not you feel like what they say, what they think is more important.
I love this. So can you elaborate a little bit on some of the supplements or modalities that you took in the beginning?
Yes. I'm trying to remember them all. I took turmeric with black pepper. Mm-hmm. I took, oh my goodness. What I might have to do is go and get you a list mm-hmm. of some of those that I took, and I'll email them to you. But the main thing was I took barley green. This was the primary thing, is that I started juicing every day. And my juice was carrot juice, carrots, a cucumber, a lemon, and a stalk of celery every day. And I took barley green, which was the main thing that I did that I was consistent throughout, was just the juicing, because I went to a place called Hallelujah Acres. And I don't know how I ran across that other than, you know, it was given to me spiritually. Mm. And they were talking about healing the body, getting it cleaned out, and, you know, just kind of cleaning all the toxins out of your body. So the carrot juice and everything and the barley green was the primary staple. Because when I first started taking it, I started having pimples just pop out everywhere. And they told me that that was normal, that that was just the body cleaning itself and being toxin free. And then I bought a sauna for my house to kind of sweat out more toxins and everything. And I used that. But the main things that I would say was, you know, the turmeric. At one time I was using shark cartilage. But mostly the barley green and the juicing and the sauna and the turmeric was my mainstay.
My goodness. So when did you stop monitoring like your tumor markers and I guess scans as well?
I would say probably 2018. I know I didn't do anything, you know, during COVID or anything like that, you know, because the thing is that when you are getting scans and everything, those kinds of things are, even though they are meant to help diagnose you, they can be really kind of toxic on your system as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't want to say I want to solve the problem, but, you know, let me just give you a little bit more poison to work with mm-hmm. in my system.
Wow.
So I figured that as long as I was feeling healthy, as long as I was feeling well, that I would just decide to stand on what I believe, ask God to guide me, and just be. I decided that I was not going to let it worry me, that I wasn't, because I really feel like sometimes the stress of knowing that you have cancer is many times worse than having cancer. Mm-hmm. Because you think about it constantly. Mm-hmm. People remind you of it. They won't let you forget it.
Yep.
So what you have to do is to get to the point where you say, well, this is what I tell myself. I'm not saying that everybody should have to tell themselves the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I tell myself, this has come to pass, not to stay. Mm. And what can I do to have it pass? What can I do to be the best me I can? What can I do to properly love myself to health? Because I was working my way to death by some of the habits I have, just the stress of working and, you know, trying to help people who sometimes did not want you to help them. And I have always been an introvert by nature, but because of the scope of the work that I did, I had to be a whole lot more outgoing. And I found myself going right back to my true self, which is very inward, very prayerful, very spiritual. And I just got to the point where I can't worry about this. Mm. Worrying about it is what's going to kill me. Mm-hmm.
This is so good. I feel like so many people just chase the healing, And yes, so driven by the fear. And I just love all the things that you're saying, it because it's like the opposite. It's almost like you are completely squashing any voice of fear, anything that would just, you know, try and put you in a state of panic and worry about your situation. And again, it's that trust in God. And it's just like, you're just so peaceful about it. Now, I want to talk about, though, the fear of dying, because I feel like a lot of people who, you know, get diagnosed with cancer, you know, you go there like, oh my gosh, this is not what I thought. Like, I'm only 40 years old. I was going to live till I was 80. So this doesn't match my plans. And they're just in utter shock, you know? And so what would you say to somebody who really has a fear of dying?
Well, I would say three things. The first thing I would say is that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. Yeah. Don't take my word. Go find it in your scriptures. The second thing I would say is that it doesn't have to be cancer that kills you. I mean, you could be walking down the street and catch a stray bullet. Death is imminent. They say man that's born of woman is going to have to die. And the third thing I would say is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I don't fear death. I would prefer to live if God sees fit. But if that were my case today, you know, if I leave my house and go down the street, and in Houston, we've having all of these problems with police chases and wrong way drivers on the freeway. And if somebody hit me and died, I would be content, you know, because I know where I'm going. And I can fear that, but it's like fearing having a birthday, and you either get older or you die. Mm-hmm. So that does not bother me. I mean, because I have so many people on the other side that love me, that I would just love to be able to be in their presence and to be in their company, to get a hug from my mom, to get a kiss from my dad, to have the arms of the Lord open for me. Because in all of my doings, I don't try to hurt anybody. I don't try to do anything as wrong. I try to live the life that God has told me through his word that I should live. And I believe that in itself is this reward, because why fear something that's going to happen anyway? You can spend your time worrying about it, but it's going to happen anyway. It's like laying in bed at night and being afraid that the sun is going to rise. You can be afraid of the sun rising all you want to, but it's not going to stop the sun from rising. So you have to have in your mind that you're going to live whatever life that you have to the best of your ability. And I chased cures from the beginning, but I also prayed and asked God to guide me to what was good and what was right and what was just and what was equitable. So all of that worry and everything is just an effort and futility as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, who am I?
Well, you're living proof that this stuff works, you know, just walking in faith and simplicity and going to the root. And I love that you ask God, you know, why do I have cancer? I think that's a very, very beneficial question that all of us should be asking ourselves and asking God, you know, why cancer, you know? Because I believe cancer can be the biggest wake-up call in the best way, even though yes, it is a complete inconvenience, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much, right, with getting a diagnosis, but it can be also, you know, the way that God works through someone and how he can really just take something so rough like a cancer diagnosis and turn it for such goodness in our life. Only he can do that, right? So,
right. And a cancer diagnosis forces you to self-care.
Yeah.
Because yeah, most people care about what their boss thinks, care about what name brand is on their back, what car they drive, what people think, you know, what the church folks are going to say. But when you have cancer, you have to concentrate on you. mm-hmm. your own personal healing, yeah. what you need in order to survive.
Mm-hmm. So good. Well, do you have any last minute thoughts you want to share or any advice you want to give to somebody who's dealing with, you know, cancer and maybe somebody who's deciding between conventional and holistic? What would you say to them about that?
What I would say is that you have to spend the time to do your own research. I mean, don't take anybody else's judgment over your own. One of the things that I did was when I found out what drugs they were going to treat me with, I did some research on those drugs. And those drugs were just not as effective as they should be. I think I probably would have decided to do it if it were like 80% effective or whatever. But the effectiveness, the success rate with those drugs were, I think at the time I was looking probably 13, 14%.
Wow.
But unless you go and look at those drugs, look at the side effects of those drugs, then you won't know. So my first thing is to make your own decision. Make your own decision prayerfully and realize that you're going to have voices that come to you from all different directions. Mm-hmm. But listen to the voice that is within you that comes, that gives you the stillness and the peace. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a lot of anxiety, then that's going to create more stress on your body.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. I think so many people, they, you know, right away, they just elevate their doctors because, like you said in the beginning, they have MD attached to their name. And so whatever the doctor says becomes the voice of truth. When that's just not true. So I love what you're saying, and I completely agree with that.
Yeah, and you have to also say that a lot of doctors do have God complexes. Because at first, I wanted to work with my doctor, and I tried 3 or 4 different doctors and say, listen, you know, I want to try some things in addition to this. And it was kind of the responses, either my way or the highway. So
yeah. Yep.
I chose the highway.
Yeah. The highway.
Yes.
Literally, the highway. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So awesome.
And I'm grateful because someone with my diagnosis is not very often here 15 years later.
That's right. Yep, that's right.
And I'm grateful every day that God sends.
Yeah.
I went to pick up my grocery the other day, and I still do the curbside. So the guy came out, puts my grocery and everything. He says, you know, how are you doing today? And I said, you know, how could I be doing on a day, a wonderful day like this that God gave us? I said, you know, just look, it's just a beautiful, beautiful day. God gave us this. He must really love us. And the guy looks at me like, she has lost her mind. He put the grocery in so fast and slammed the door. And
as she
was walking away, I could see him looking back like, ooh, nutcase, nutcase, nutcase.
Oh. Little does he know you have a whole new outlook on life.
Yes.
Wow.
And Erica, I am so grateful that I got the cancer. I am so grateful that God has saw fit to sustain my life. I am grateful that I learned to listen to myself. I learned to put myself in a place where I have importance. I'm just grateful that there were a lot of people that were in my life that were just sucking blood from me, sucking blood, sucking blood. You know, they always wanted something. All of that, you know, there was always something that they needed. Mm. And because I felt like it was my vocation, you know, a lot of times I would lose sleep because I needed to take care of this or that for someone else. And I have learned that I am the priority. That doesn't mean that I don't love my family. That doesn't mean that I won't do this and that, but you cannot love your family. You cannot love yourself unless you take care of yourself. And mm-hmm. I learned how to take care of me.
It sounds like you have healthy boundaries in place now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people who were just blood suckers, you know, they, when I stopped giving them blood to suck, they, you know, found their way to the door.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Again, it's the, I would say the same thing for me. The biggest wake up call. I mean, I hate that it had to be this way, but I feel like there's no other way that God was going to change me as much as he has through getting a cancer diagnosis. I mean, literally, like night and day difference, and the priorities, that's what shifted the most. Mm-hmm. I can't believe the futile priorities I had, the of just this world and pleasures and just, yeah, basically all the things that are going to pass away. And now I just feel like I have, I don't know, there's just so much that he's just done. So it's so good.
I'm grateful. I hope somebody gets a little something. And the little something that I hope they get is to do your own research. You know, never discount what is in you and what your best judgment is.
I love that you said that, because I think people, when they're getting the information from the doctor, like I said earlier, they just take it as like, it's like, oh, it's Bible, it's true. But then you took it a step further and you went and you saw, oh, let's just say carbotaxol, whatever those drugs are. Let's see what the efficacy is. Let's see the percentage of how successful this is going to be in my body. And then when you did the research, it showed absolutely different than what your doctor told you. So that is the best advice for people listening in. You guys, seriously, take this to heart. So good. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to share or say?
I just want to say I'm praying health. You know, I'm asking the angels to dispatch in all directions for anybody that will see this, to you, to me, for God to dispatch angels to bring healing.
Yes.
And mostly to our minds. And I think our bodies will heal once our minds are in the right place.
That's right. Yes, our minds are so powerful.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you so much, Janice, for taking the time to share this powerful testimony.
And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah. All right. You take care.
Thank you for listening to the show. My prayer is that the podcast encouraged you and filled you with hope. If you loved what you heard today and you would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it on social media, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at It's Erica Matthews and join my Hope and Healing for Cancer Facebook group. Remember this, anything worth having takes work. See you next week for a new episode.